Amen. If you want, take your hymnal page to turn to page 424. O come, all ye faithful.
Lord, 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 L Last week, we considered the walk of the believer and three ways that the believer, when they walk, this Christian walk, that they ought to walk in love. Every step that we take ought to be governed by love because Christ loved us. He's done for us, and so we ought to be a follower of him as he has called us to do. So walk in love. We also talked about walking in light, living a righteous life, living as he would have us to live, proving what is acceptable. Lord, there in verse number 10 of chapter 5. And so then we also talked about not only walking in love, but walking in light, and then also looking around, having wisdom. We live in a time where we need wisdom. There's
stuff all around us that has that. Can easily trip us up if we're not careful. And so we must be ever walking circumspectly, walking not as fools but as wise, and redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so we live in such a crazy world, we ought to be careful with the time that we have here. And so we ought to walk with wisdom, walk looking around. And so today then, as we continue on into verse number 17, there we find the will of the Lord. What is the will of the Lord for all believers? And certainly as a youth director, this question is posed many times, but every believer ought to be concerned with what God's will is for their life. And that can, certainly the Lord leads in different people to do different things. But we do find in Scripture sometimes where God's will is very clearly laid out. And this is one of those times where we find that what God wants us to do is very clear. And so we see verse number 17, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord, what will of the Lord is." And so verse number 18, what is the will of the Lord for every believer? What does God want every believer, every follower of Him to do? We find verse number 18, "Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. That's God's will for every single believer, that we would be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? We'll find out. But we see, first of all, the necessity of the Spirit-led life. The necessity of it. It's important. It's God's will. We've mentioned that already. But we also understand this, that we understand the why. Why should we be led by the Spirit? Well, because we are His. Right? Back in chapter number 1, verse number 13 and 14, we find that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. We are sealed. That word seal, it shows the authority under who we are under, right? It shows whose authority we are under. And so back in Bible times, a seal would be put on a letter to show who the letter came from, and it would show who the letter belongs to, and it would show whose authority was sending the letter. And so Paul uses that word picture to the church at Ephesus to show us that when we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, we are under His authority. We are under His control. He is supposed to be the one that guides us into all truth, as Jesus said the Holy Spirit would. And so we are sealed by the Holy Ghost, but also we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, "What know you not, therefore, that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is of God, which is in you, and ye are not your own," right? "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so it's important that we are led by the Spirit, because we are sealed by Him. We are the temple of Him. And also we're to walk in the Spirit, right? Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let us walk in the Spirit. And so the necessity of the Spirit-filled life. We see there the phrase, "be filled." What does that mean? Be filled is a passive imperative. Okay, it's a passive imperative. How many of you are grammar people that you know already what that means? Okay, not many. All right, so a passive imperative. A passive means that we are not the ones that are doing the action, that somebody else is doing it for us. It means it's not a manufactured experience. It means the Holy Spirit fills us, right? He's the one that controls us. He's the one that leads us. It's not us trying to make our own way through, right? He's the one that's in control. And so I think about some others that would call themselves a church, where maybe you've seen videos of stuff that's called holy laughter, right? Have you seen that, where people are out of control? They're manufacturing a response but because of what they say is the Holy Spirit. Holy laughter, another ridiculous one I've seen is holy barking, right? It's crazy. People just bark like dogs, and they say that it's because of the Holy Spirit, but we understand this is not a manufactured experience. It's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, right? It's not based on what we want to do, and so it's not manufactured. That's what passive is. But then also it's an imperative, which means not only is it not manufactured, but it's not optional either. It's not optional for the believer to be filled or to be not filled. It's up to Him whether we are filled, and He says that we're supposed to be. And so what does it look like, though? What does that look like? Paul contrasts here the necessity of the Spirit-filled life with the folly of alcohol. Look at verse number 8. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It's a contrast, right? It can't be one or the other. One cannot be led by both masters. One cannot be led by the Spirit and by alcohol. It doesn't work. Alcohol is a controlling substance, and so it's foolish to give yourself to drunkenness. It is. It's very clear in the scriptures. There's no single time that drunkenness is endorsed by God. And you think of the many times that it's talked about in scripture, and even two of the negative examples we find. Think about Noah, right? One of Noah's sons was ruined because of Noah's drunkenness. And we find Lot, right? Lot was ruined because of his drunkenness and the situation there with his daughters. And so we find that it's not ever endorsed by God to be drunk. We find even the criteria for a pastor, that he would not be given to wine, right? And so we find it's very important to God, this idea of drunkenness. And though specifically right here we find it's prohibiting being drunk, but we find that the biblical stance on alcohol is that it's not okay. God doesn't endorse alcohol in general. And so we find that he uses this to contrast. Why? Because alcohol can control, but we're supposed to be controlled by somebody else, to be filled with the Spirit. And so what do we do? Unlike the unsaved Gentiles, we're to live under the influence of the Spirit. And when we do, what does that look like? What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? What are the evidences of Spirit-filled life? Paul gives us three here in our passage in verses 19 and 20 and 21. We find that these are not how-to verses, but these are just the natural result of being filled with the Spirit. It's just what happens. And so we find, number one, that Spirit-led praise is the evidence of being led by the Spirit. Spirit-led praise. Verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing is very important to God. We heard about that this morning a little bit, and so Pastor already introduced my sermon for me. I thank you for that, preacher. And singing is very important to God. But from the believer, it's very important. Many times in Scripture, the followers of God are exhorted to sing. Singing is, and so we find that singing should happen on earth because singing will happen in heaven, right? As you read through the book of Revelation, time and time again, it says that people are gathered there around the throne and they're singing in every tongue and from every tribe, from every nation. And so one person said this, that congregational singing is the closest that we will ever get to heaven on earth. Right? I love preaching. I do. I love preaching. I love that God's called me to preach, but there's not going to be preaching in heaven. There's not. There's not going to be soul winning in heaven. There's not going to be any of that, but what there is going to be is there's going to be singing. There's going to be singing. Why? And so singing together as people of God, though, is also important. Not just personal singing, but singing together is important to God. It says there in our verse, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is not saying, though, that church is a musical, right? It's not like we come in and instead of talking, we just sing one to another. That's not what Paul is saying here. What he is saying, though, is that we can help one another when we sing together. We can be a blessing to other people. We can be an encouragement to others when we sing together. I want to look at 1 Chronicles, if you will. Turn over to 1 Chronicles. Actually, when you get there, go to 2 Chronicles, because that's where we're actually going to look. So 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. I want to look at this real quick. Of the importance of singing. The importance of singing together, congregationally. 2 Chronicles starts off with Solomon and his desire to build the temple and his coming to sit on the throne as the king of Israel. And so we get to chapter 5, and the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. So he's finished building the temple, he's finished building his house, he's finished building God's house, and he's finished all of that stuff. And so he's now going to dedicate the temple for the service of the Lord. He's going to dedicate this building for God's service. And so they go through, and we won't read the whole chapter even though it's long, but I do want to look at verse number 13 and 14. It came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised God, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. How did that happen? By singing. By singing, congregational singing, as they all did it together, they found that the literal presence of the Lord came into the temple and was ushered in. Why? Because they congregationally sang. They sang together. Singing isn't primarily for preparing our hearts for the preaching. That does happen. It does happen. But the purpose of singing is because we have God in our midst. The presence of God in our midst through the Holy Spirit. And so because we have him here, we should sing just like Israel sang so that they could get him there. We should sing because he is here. And so, and I'll tell you this, as somebody that's done a good amount of song leading, you can tell a lot by somebody's face as to whether they're enjoying it or not. All right, this is just practical help for you, okay? This you can tell if somebody's really singing to the Lord or not, most of the time, right? Just by their face. And so I'd encourage you, when you're singing, I don't know, sing to the Lord or something. Maybe put a smile on your face, okay? Sing, why? Because we're singing for God. We're not singing for ourselves, but as people are encouraged, I'll just tell you, Brother George isn't here, but I love watching Brother George Philhour sing. I love it because he knows what he's singing about, right? He looks like he's really singing to the Lord, and it's an encouragement to me. And that's how it's supposed to work, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And there's a public aspect of it, but there's a private aspect of it too, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's pretty hard to sing out loud if you're not singing in your heart, right? It's pretty hard to sing out loud something that's not real to you. And so I'd encourage you this evening that you would evidence this being led by the Spirit by singing and singing well. Why? Because God is in our midst. God is in our midst. So what is the evidences of being led by the Spirit, Spirit-led singing? Then number two, we also find this Spirit-led gratitude. Spirit-led gratitude, being thankful. And we certainly have heard much about this in the past days, and coming off of Thanksgiving only 10 days ago. And so, not to step on anybody's toes, but how many of you have already stopped being thankful? Right? Because there's so much emphasis that's placed on it in the month of Thanksgiving. How often by December 1st are we already done, right? Oh, we're good, right? We were thankful for the year, and so now we don't have to say thank you anymore. But the fact is that it's just natural for people who are led by the Spirit to be grateful. It's just natural. Verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first half of Ephesians shows the many and multitude blessings that we've been given, right? And I'm not going to go and re-preach all three chapters of the beginning of Ephesians, but we recall that blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing has been given to us, and we could never take time to talk about all of our blessings, but we ought to just be thankful for them. Paul didn't write the first three chapters that way because he had nothing else to say, right? He wanted us to get our mind focused on what we've been given so that we can be thankful for those things. Charles Spurgeon said this, "Every hour, yea, every moment has brought favor on his wings. Look downward and give thanks, for you're saved from hell. Look to your left and give thanks, for you are enriched with gracious gifts. Look right and give thanks, for you're shielded from deadly ills. Look above you and give thanks, for heaven awaits." And so from every direction, we have something to be thankful for, giving thanks always for all things in the Lord. So Spirit-led gratitude, Spirit-led singing, and number three, Spirit-led submission. Spirit-led submission. Verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The people of God are the people of God. That's pretty good stuff. That's pretty deep, right? The people of God are the people of God. It's not only a personal thing, right? Well, there's not, Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple is not a single person, right? It's a group of people. And so we're made of individuals, sure, but we are united in Christ. And so if we are united, why would we then harbor an attitude of selfishness and self-promotion? Why would we do that? It doesn't make sense. It's natural for people who are led by the Spirit to be in submission one to another, that we would put others ahead of ourselves, right? Let no man be so obstinate of his will as to disturb the peace of the church. We won't take time to look at all of these, but Paul uses two specific phrases. You know, I was talking to a preacher about this earlier this last week, I suppose now, that Paul uses when he talks about the Lord. He describes it two ways. He says, our Lord, and he says, my Lord. But notice this, that he uses the phrase, our Lord, 62 times, and he uses the phrase, my Lord, one time. Why? Because it's a community. The church is a community, and so we ought to be concerned about helping one another, right? Ephesians chapter number 4, we talked about this already. We preached about it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so we find that one another is very important to God. Right, Brother Steve preached a whole series about that in Sunday school, and I wish that I could have listened to it, but we understand that as we read through how the church is supposed to work, it's supposed to be a church of one another, a church of one another, of caring for other people. We should bear one another's burdens, Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1, and so fulfill the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens. Philippians chapter number 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself, right? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 10, in honor preferring one another, preferring one another. Why does the church have problems? Look at James chapter number 4, if you would please. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4, verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Why do things happen in the church where people butt heads and people have wars and fightings, as James said? Because we're concerned with ourselves. We're concerned with ourselves, and we don't care for other people. And so then when that happens, then things get hard, right? People grit against each other, and people have harsh words. Why? Because we're only cared for ourselves. And so when we're led with the Spirit, we should be in submission to one another. I have a spirit of preference to one another, of caring for other people above ourselves. And so I want to ask you this afternoon then very quickly, are you led by the Spirit? Are you led by the Spirit? I hope that you are. I hope that though it has not been lengthy, I hope that you have recognized that there's a necessity for it. There's a necessity to be led by the Spirit. And so I want to ask you, are you led by the Spirit? How can you tell? Well, are you singing well? Are you singing well? We love singing Christmas songs. Absolutely. I love singing the Christmas songs. I love singing all of them. But the thing is that we have to sing them well. It's not just about projecting our voice. It's about the heart, right? It comes from inside. Speaking to ourselves, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So is your singing being led by the Spirit? Is your singing being led by the Spirit? But also, are you thankful this evening, this afternoon? Are you thankful? There's so much to be thankful for. We did Thankful Friday with our Devos for well over a year. Every week we talked about being thankful. Why? It's just natural for a believer to be thankful, or it should be, and so we ought to be thankful, and I hope that you are thankful, and that's evidence of the being led by the Spirit. But then also, are you submissive one to another? Do you care for other people more than you care for yourself? When you come to church, are you concerned about, hey, how can I help this other person? Who can I help today? Who can I invest in today more than just coming so that you can receive something? But who can I give to? Who can I help today? Why? Because we are a community, and we're supposed to be unified in Christ and through His teachings. And so, are you submissive one to another? Are you led by the Spirit? Father, thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I thank you for these evidences of the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to wonder if we're being led by the Holy Spirit or not. You've given us a good test of whether or not we are. And Lord, I ask you to help each one as they look into their hearts, that they would see whether or not they're being led or controlled by the Spirit. And I ask you to help us to be that way, because it's your will that we would do so. I ask you to help each one. I ask you to speak to our hearts in this time of invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano begins to play, as we all stand to our feet, are you led by the Spirit this afternoon? I hope that you are. As Jared sings, "All to Jesus I surrender," I hope that you'll think about if you're led by the Spirit. Brother Jared.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender. Oh.
Just a few announcements here. Today's brown bag. Don't come back tonight. Officer nominations are going to be, there's a form out there, accepted until December the 19th. Make sure you ask the person and then sign your form so preacher knows that you asked them. The youth Christmas party coming up on Thursday, December the 9th at 6 p.m. till around 8:30 or whenever people come get your kids. Yeah. Midnight. Christmas cantata coming up. That's on Saturday, December the 11th, and Sunday the 12th at 6 p.m. each of those days. Ladies Christmas party and Thursday, December the 16th at 7 p.m. at Pastor's House. Don't forget the Gilson Christmas coming up. Get them something useful as a gift card, and then sign up for church cleaning back there. Now, if I could have Pastor and Chuck and Ms. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the messages that we've heard today about giving. We can give to our staff here at the church and honor them. We just use this throughout this week as a light for you, Lord. Pray that you watch over and protect us as always. Bring us back on Wednesday. Love you, Lord. Amen.